Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, Dr. Oren Scrivello. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. When I was a kid, I went to the same dentist that my mom did. I went to him all the way up until I was about 18 years old. He was great. I thought he was this really crazy, kooky guy, and he would put Polaroids of all the little kids who came into his office. And I thought that was neat, because there was a picture of me with a big old smile and my little name written underneath the Polaroid picture. I thought it was cool. In fact, one day I went there after I was old enough to drive and he was running late. I had an appointment and he was running behind. So he took me to lunch and immediately I thought, this is kind of weird. I'm having lunch with my dentist, but it was nice. He paid for lunch. We had a nice conversation. He took me back to the office and he did the appointment. Everything was great. But I'm really grateful that I never had to reveal any sort of, I don't know, strange ongoings that are happening in my home or in my life, because I don't think he would have been qualified to handle that. Turns out he probably wasn't qualified to be doing dentistry because I had to have braces twice. And the dentist that I went to after he retired said he was doing bad work, but that might've been because he was losing his mind, but I digress. Well, this week's guest might be a little more familiar with that. I got to visit another expert in the field of dentistry. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and this week I am coming to you from a location that many people don't find all that favorable, but as an adult, I am learning to appreciate it. I'm in a dentist office, and I'm talking this week to Dr. Veronica Binks. Dr. Binks, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Ryan. How are you doing?
I
just read the word Ryan.
That's okay. You know what, Dr. Binks? You have a lot going on. And, every time I'm in any office, I see so many medical folders. It's amazing you keep people's names in order at all.
Honestly, my secretary's out today, but usually I don't know people's names at all. I really recognize them more by their mouth bones and tongue. Pardon me, you didn't open your mouth all the way. I didn't recognize you.
It's okay. You know what? I have a bad smile because I have big cheeks and small teeth. So it doesn't really, I can't make a good smile.
Oh, really?
Well,
you know, if you've got a few minutes after we're done talking, if you want to pop in the chair, I can see if I can do something about that. No pressure, of course. No pressure.
I'm not going to turn that down. I can take all the dental care I can get.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Binks, what got you into the field of dentistry? Because it seems like such a specialized thing. What drew you to this study of medicine?
It's a funny story, actually. I didn't develop baby teeth, period. So it was always just such a thing growing up. I looked like a little old guy. And mm-hmm. I was so jealous of my friends who could have solid food, smile with their mouth open without looking like a turtle. You know, all these things that people just take for granted in their childhood.
And sure.
So it was always the thing that, why can't I have that? Why can't I have that?
Right.
And then my adult teeth, of course, blasted through my gums. They were ready to go when I was 14. All of a sudden, I have a full mouth of beautiful, straight, white teeth. And I thought, everyone deserves this right from the beginning. So mm-hmm. It's a funny story, but it's mine.
That seems like that would be incredibly painful. I can't. So, and again, this is not meant to make light of your situation, but you had no teeth in your mouth until you were 14.
Correct. When I developed a full set of huge adult teeth.
That must have been very tough for you as a preteen and as a teenager.
Yeah, thank you for saying so. It I can't say that 0 through 19 were the best years of my life, but thankfully I made a lot of friends in dentist school who really appreciated what I had and didn't know what came before until my thesis project, which was a retrospective of my mouth.
I was going to ask, what was the thesis project? And
Well, of course, in dentistry school, everyone presents a thesis at the end. And mine was a lot of pictures and songs and stories about the story of my mouth, ages 0 to 25.
That is the thing I admire about dental school, is that unlike most medical colleges, you have to present a thesis as opposed to any practical hours that you have to show that you've mastered the skills of this medicine.
Exactly. That's why a lot of people turn their, noses down at dentistry. But mm-hmm. I think it's one of the more respectable arts, if I may.
Well, you guys do get a bad rap as being, what do you call a doctor who's dropped out of medical school? You call him a dentist. And I don't think that's fair at all. I think dentistry is a very, very, it's a difficult science and a difficult medicine to practice, to master and to practice. So I admire what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so.
So who have been some of your favorite clients? And I'm not looking for specific names because, you know, when I was a kid, my dentist had photos of, you know, there were young kids that he took care of and then older people and then older people still. Do you find that there is a certain age range that you, I don't want to say prefer to practice on, but that you take the most joy in, like that you feel like you're getting the most dental care too?
You know, that is a great question. Of course, it was hard for me for a lot of years to work with children. Mm-hmm. Why did they get teeth when I didn't? Their teeth are so small, so cute, even when they're crooked. Why couldn't I have that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, through many years of exposure therapy, just working with children, I have grown to appreciate those times. I guess I do have to say, still, it, and I know how this sounds, my favorite part is yanking a tooth out of a child's mouth.
Sure.
And I think that's normal. I think every dentist would say the same.
You enjoy that?
Yes, I enjoy that.
I think I don't think you should feel bad about that at all. That just seems like something you're enjoying doing. That's such a valuable skill that you're giving to people. I don't know why somebody would make you feel bad about that.
Thank you. And if you've read my book, No Such Thing as Bad Soup, you can see the argument for not having baby teeth at all. Actually, baby teeth, if children, breast milk is so good for a mm-hmm. child. And the main reason that children are weaned off the teat is because they start biting the nipple. If children do not develop baby teeth, become just gummy creatures until their adult teeth come in, you could avoid a lot of this, gain more nutrients, and frankly, we'd see less bone damage in older adults.
How long did you breastfeed?
Oh, as long as I could. Well, actually, the day I stopped breastfeeding was the day that I also learned how to ride a bicycle. My mother and father discussed, and they said, once she's off the trike, she's also off the teat. And so it was a hard way to grow up. Again, I had no teeth at the time, but they moved me on to soup, milky soups.
It sounds like you had a very practical parent. A very set of practical parents as a kid. You know, if she's too old for the trike, she's too old for the teat. Again, it just feels like everything is kind of bottlenecking, you know, Arrowhead in your way to becoming a dentist. So it feels like you're really doing your life's purpose on this world.
Thank you. It really, you know, it really felt like that. It was some people, their signals from, call it what you will, God, the universe, are not as clear. And I felt so lucky to be born with no teeth. So I knew what I was looking for.
So you have this undying passion for dentistry. You are driven by a goal, whether that's to help people or to fulfill your own wants and desires. You're in the game. Talk to me about the borrowers incident, if you don't mind, because I feel like this might be a curveball that maybe you weren't ready for, given how you approach dentistry.
Yes, it frankly rocked. It absolutely rocked our town. Mm-hmm. You know, the young boy who, again, his name I don't remember, but I could tell you every detail of his little mouth. He knew what was real, mm-hmm. you know? He knew what was real, and he was trying to tell his parents, hey, you guys, there's a teeny tiny human family living beneath our floorboards. And guess what? No one believed him.
Yeah.
Until it was too late.
Well, I feel like, you know, and I don't know if either one of us are qualified to answer this, but this feels more like a psychological thing that people don't often believe children.
Oh, absolutely. And I see this all the time in my practice is, mm-hmm. you know, they'll come in and say, you know, a parent will say, oh, so, you know, she's complaining about so-and-so, but I'm sure it's just another tooth coming in. And you know what? More often than not, it's a tumor. And this is why it's important to believe children.
Yeah. You know, I think I've said it on this episode before or on this show before, pardon me, that, you know, I worked EMS a little bit, and more often than not, most times when kids were saying whatever was hurting them, it was either a tooth or a tumor. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The number of tumors I found in a child's mouth, not necessarily cancerous, but just, you know, filled with all kinds of stuff.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility to a town that's being rocked by, I mean, anything, whether it's a hurricane, little people living under the floorboards? Do you feel a sense of responsibility as a leader of a community to kind of step up and take charge?
You know, I feel like the dentist's chair is the most comfortable place in the world. And if you can't open up there, then there's really not a safe space left in a society. So yeah. When my clients come in, I like them to open up their mouths. I put my full hand inside and I ask them how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time when we connect. You know, there's not a lot of places for connection anymore. So I feel like in that way, I am really stepping up as a, thank you for saying it, leader in the community. Yeah. Just making that space.
You know, forgive me if this is inappropriate, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, as from one medical one former medical professional to a current medical professional.
One of the medical performer, and I like that as well.
No, but there's got to be medical performers, right, Dr. Binks? Like, there's got to be.
Oh, I mean, everything's a little show, don't you think?
I mean, more often than not, you find people who are coming in for medical attention. It's all performative anyways.
Attention, medical attention. That's what I'm saying.
I feel terrible saying that.
Oh, just between us doctors.
It's just between us. Yeah. You know what? This is, I like that we have a space where we can just kind of swap war stories and no one's going to give us any guff about it.
Oh, yeah. This is a private space. Again, I don't understand the nature of this conversation, but it's nice to know that no one will hear about this.
You know what? I'm processing it in real time, Dr. Binks, and I think I'm equating my EMT level to the same level as that of a dentist, and I don't think that's right.
Well, I mean, did you do anything that was similar to a thesis?
No, I mean, the most rewarding, and I do mean this in all sincerity, I helped put a catheter inside a 90-year-old dementia patient. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Yes, fun is one word, but I think rewarding in its own right.
Absolutely.
Challenging.
To give that person, totally challenging, to give that person help and relief and comfort in that moment. Absolutely. Yeah. And I imagine that's what you do on a daily basis, not even for people who need a catheter, people who are just coming in for general dental pain.
Oh, yeah. Preventative tooth removal. It's highly rewarding. And not a lot of dentists practice it.
Preventative tooth removal?
Yes.
So you sent me your book, There's No Such Thing as Bad Soup, and there is a 300-page section devoted to preventative tooth removal. This is a controversial approach to medicine, I would say, at the very least. Where do you fall on this in terms of, I mean, I know you're pro this, but how do we get people to think that this isn't a bad thing?
I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's there's no such thing as cavities for gums, okay? Baleen whales are not suffering from toothaches. You know, turtles live hundreds of years with no teeth.
I think that's right. They have beaks.
All of this evidence and more just points to a toothless society, again, until the child is ready. Baby teeth don't serve a purpose.
Yeah.
But in adulthood, understandably, we're looking for mates. We need those big teeth. You want to have a steak every once in a while. But children, you can gain enough nutrients from slurping up anything you can find.
You know what I like about this theory of medicine, Dr. Binks, is that you are taking the power back for people who think I am dependent on my own biology, my own skeletal system to help me figure out how I want to digest food. And with your approach to medicine, you get to do that yourself.
Yes. Sometimes the body is the smartest instrument and sometimes it is not. Okay. And so we don't, just because you have baby teeth does not mean you need to use them. Okay. And yeah. You believe me, you got to come in sometime because the way those suckers pop right out, it's like they don't even want to be in there.
I think that this is going to probably get me into a lot of trouble, Dr. Binks, but I think baby teeth are the greatest cowards of teeth at all.
Go on.
I just think they're cowards. I think, you know, they stick around for the glory. They like candy. They like soda pop. They like cotton candy. But as soon as things get tough, they just fall out and they run away. And I don't think those are the kind of teeth that you want to have.
That's okay. And thank you for saying so. And may I just add, they don't just fall out and run away. They fall out and expect money. They say, I'm valuable enough. What is it now with inflation? $10 for a baby tooth?
Lazy is what I say, Dr. Binks. They're lazy. Exactly. And they want a free ride.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I can't believe I've become this passionate about getting rid of people's baby teeth.
That's what I'm saying. I said if more people would just read my book, and I know it's long, one chapter is 300 pages, but there is an accompanying CD, of course, with the songs and pictures from my thesis. But if you're not interested in that, then just at least read the book. Read the first 750 pages and tell me that you want your children to have their baby teeth.
Dr. Binks, we're going to put your book up on My Neighbor's Internet website. If you go there now, you're going to get a 63% discount. We're going to get a promo code for you. Read this book. Go to Dr. Veronica Binks if you want to get some real dentistry. It's just been such a delight having you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. It's been a pleasure to see you.
You've really calmed down my fears of going to the dentist, Dr. Binks. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay, great. Well, you know, I have an opening this afternoon.
Sign me up. I don't have insurance. What is my copay going to be, though?
Okay. Well, the first one, we can do barter.
Okay, great. I have a lot of things in the trunk of my car that I figured we could barter. That'll be fine. This will be great. That's fine.
Or heck, the whole car. Let's talk about it.
You know what? It's a Pontiac Trans Am. I think you look good driving around in it. And might I say, I don't want to overstep, but Dr. Binks, your teeth look phenomenal.
Ryan, thank you so much for saying so.
Well, Dr. Veronica Binks, I look forward to this dental exam. Thank you so very much. If people want to find you, just look up your book on Amazon.
No such thing as bad soup.
It's one chapter. It's 300 pages. Read it. You're going to love it. Dr. Veronica Binks, thank you so much for coming by the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Stop by the office anytime.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself, Nate DeFort, and Ryan Countshouse, with editing done by Nate DeFort. Our original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by James Mulholland. And as always, we want to give a very special thank you to our old pal, Mark Nashon. I want to give a big thank you to Olivia Nielsen for coming by and playing Veronica Binks. If you want to know what Olivia's up to, check her out on TikTok. You can find her at Olivia West Nielsen. If you like the show and you want to support us, go to www.patreon.com/myneighborsaredead, where you can find new weekly bonus content only available to our Patreon patrons. If you have yet to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow and it helps new neighbors find the show. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I'm Brian Husky. I'm bald.
And I'm Charlie Sanders, and I'm also bald. And we host Bald Talk on the Campfire Media Network.
Bald Talk is the podcast where two bald comedians talk to anyone bald about being bald.
But this show isn't just for baldies, Brian. Harrows will love it too.
Bald Talk gets into vulnerability, vanity, insecurity, and self-acceptance, reminding us that we all have our respective bald spots. Not that bald spots are a bad thing.
No way. I mean, my entire head is one big bald spot.
It is one huge, beautiful bald spot, Charlie.
Get Bald Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I have like a little bit of hair, but not like you. Like, you're really bald.
I'm truly bald.
Great. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
I'm balder than you.
You are balder than me. Only on Bald Talk. Campfire.